Good morning. I thank the Lord for that song because Jesus is a friend and he's our friend. And wouldn't be able to do anything that we do without him, and we need him all the time. And so I'm glad to know him, to have an up-to-date relationship with him. And I'm glad that he's our friend. I'm desiring your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. I don't want to do anything without the Lord. And all the prayer that I can get, I was thinking about this not too long ago. All the prayers that I can get, I need them. I'm good with that. Y'all pray for me. My goal and my aim and my desire is to make heaven my home. And I don't want to go by myself. I want you to go with me. And so I'd like to see you in heaven as well, but I definitely want to be there. So be praying for me. The title of this discourse this morning is Two Wrongs Don't Make a Right. Two wrongs don't make a right. All right. And so we're going to talk about, I thought it was going to go in a different direction when the Lord first started giving it to me. He gave me the second half of it. But when I began to write it out this week, the Lord gave me the first half of it. And so by the help of the Lord, I want to talk about two wrongs not making a right. All right. And so be praying for us. The Lord told me, he said, there's enough wrong in this world. All right. We live in an evil world, a wicked world. And so what's happening is the enemy is waxing stronger and stronger. His army and his agenda is being pushed forward. And so what the Lord told me in the first place is he said, there's enough wrong in this world without you and me adding our wrong to it. Do you understand? God wants people that are going to live right in 2024 on whatever day this is. I think it's the first day of December. He wants people to live right in this world. And he's our friend. He's going to help us to do exactly that. Because the world is going in the wrong way. Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But it doesn't have to be your love. Doesn't have to be my love. I've got access to the Lord right now today, and I can live right in these days and in these times by the grace and help of God. And so he said in Micah, somebody get Micah 6 and 8. And I want to talk about that briefly. It says there in Micah 6 and 8, be sure you're writing these scriptures down if you don't know this. Micah 6 and 8, it says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. He said, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. All right, and so God has given us some instruction, and we were talking about it this morning. Do you know that God would be an unjust God if he had given us these instructions and then not given us the ability and the help we need to follow these instructions? But God is a just God. The brother just sung a song. He said he's a friend and he loves us. His tender care is precious. His grace towards us is wondrous. And then he slid in there, praise his name. He said, there's a friend who won't leave us. He's so dear, so good, so precious. He's our kind and loving Jesus. Praise his name. So we have a God that is available at all times through a relationship between us and him. Do you know that you don't have to go through me to get to God? Did you know that this morning? Did you know that you can have a personal relationship with God, your own self? Amen. And you can call upon him through prayer and he'll help you at any time and all the time. Did you know that? Amen. And so what we can do is we can gain and maintain a relationship with God that will allow us to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with our God in these days and times. And I'm going to get to the two wrongs don't make a right. But I want you to stay with me here. We're trying to lay a foundation. All right. And so it says there in Micah 6 and 8, it says, he says, he showed thee, O man, what's good, what the Lord. God is the one that established what is good. And then he helps us to do what is good. So he showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of us. God has a requirement on our lives. He says, do justly. What is just? What is right? What is fair? I don't want you to think about justice in this way. If the shoe was on the other foot, you understand, and somebody was doing you wrong, would it be just? Would it be right? You see, what we do as people, sometimes when we have been done wrong, we justify ourselves in what we want to do. You see, and so what God is trying to teach us to do is do right all the time. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, be not overcome with evil, but what? Overcome evil with what? With good. Do you know that you can't overcome evil with anything other than good? Did you know that? If I do you wrong and you do me wrong, then what's going to happen? We're going to keep on doing each other wrong, right? Does that make sense? And so what happens here is we begin to get in a cycle of wrongdoing. And what God has come to do is not only enable us to see that with the person that's doing us wrong, they're a victim too. Did you know that? Did you know that people that do other people wrong, the enemy has convinced them to do that? He's convinced them that that's all right and they are victims too, and they're being mistreated as well? And so when you do good, when you do justly, when you love mercy, you know what mercy is? Huh? I can get you if I want to. I got you in the right position. I can do you right on in if I wanted to. And matter of fact, you deserve to be done in because you done me wrong, see? But when I do justly and I love mercy, why do I love mercy? Because I need mercy, do I not? Huh? I'm not always right, am I? Do I always do right? Do I always do people good? And when I mess up, what do I want them to do? I want them to be merciful to me, don't I? And so the Bible says, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. You know what hinders us from doing justly and loving mercy? It's pride. Did you know that? Huh? It's pride, is it not? You ain't going to do me like that. You done lost your mind. You ain't going to do me like that. You might do somebody else like that. Huh? We might not say it, but that's what's in our hearts. That's what's in our minds. And so we're going to get them back, aren't we? And so what happens is wrongdoing begets wrongdoing. But God gives us the ability to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When did he say that? When did Jesus say that? Huh? Excuse me? Oh, on the cross? So you mean during the very act of being crucified and killed, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Huh? Two wrongs don't make a right, see? Jesus could have gotten vindictive in that place. He said, they doing me wrong, and I ain't did nothing wrong, and so what I need to do is go ahead and show them who I really am. I can call 10,000 angels and fix all this little problem that they trying to do, but he didn't do it, did he? He's our example. He's showing us what he wants us to do, and he did it for us. Lord, help us to do it as well. May God help us this morning. When I do good to those that do me wrong. Now, you have to understand that this is not a natural position for a human being. Well, we are born with a get-back mentality. You kick me, I'm going to kick you back. You spit on me, I'm going to spit you back. I might punch you. You understand? Because that's our mentality. That's how we're born. We're born with what's called, do you know what that is? That's called Adamic nature. We're born with it. We're born with that. And so we can't do this in and of our own self. But what God does is through salvation, he reaches down in our very hearts and he changes our hearts and he changes the way that we see things. The way that we see things. All right. And we began to understand that But for the mercy of God, we would be the wrongdoers. We would be the ones that never could get it right. And so God in his love and mercy, he teaches us that good will stop the evil. It always seems like that the evil is going to win. But I want to give us an understanding this morning that this is a spoiler alert. This is like when you go to a book and you read a few pages and you want to find out what happens in the end. And you go to the end of the book. This is what we're going to give you. Do you know that God wins in the end? Did you know that? God wins. God wins. So what you want to do is you want to be on his side in the end. May God help us this morning. Moving on down. What the enemy does is what he likes to do is he likes to distort. He likes to insert. He likes to change reality to where what was once true is no longer true in our minds. So you stay with me, because what he does is he does that to God. Did you know that? Do you know that in your mind, if you're going to do something wrong against God, you have to believe that it's okay in your own mind. Did you know that? And so the way that he does it is he starts getting you looking at what God has done. And he tries to make you look at it in a way the where it makes it look like God is wrong. Stay with me. Stay with me. Somebody go to Genesis 3. Let's go to Genesis 3 and 1. And we're going to read a little bit in Genesis. And I want you to pay attention to what happened there in Genesis. This is a story about Adam and Eve. Remember Adam and Eve? Adam was made first, and then God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. I'd like to agree with that. It isn't good for man to be alone. We need us a helpmeet. And God saw that, and he said, I'm going to give you a helpmeet. So he gave Adam Eve. He had already made the earth, and he made everything that we see, and he saw that it was good, and it was good. But he gave the instruction. He told him, he said, listen, I'm giving you all of this. I'm giving you this garden. I'm giving you this world. You've got dominion over everything that you see. You can do anything you want. All right? But the only thing you can't do is what? What did he say? I can't hear y'all. I don't know if y'all whispering or what's going on this morning. Y'all awake? Are y'all woke? What's going on? What did he say? Eat of what? Don't eat what tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, so I want us to be thinking about this. All that, the only rule they had one rule that existed in the world, and that was, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that ye eat, what? Ye shall surely die. All right, did you know that the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden? Did you know that? So they had access to eternal life. They could do whatever they wanted, and they didn't even know the difference between good and evil. Did you ever think about that? So two things happened. He said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was God's intent to be, it always has been, God's intent to live and dwell and have a relationship with us. What stops us from having a relationship with God is sin. Sin is disobedience unto God. And so what he said was, if you think about it, if I didn't even know what good and evil was, then I'm not bound by those rules. And so God was protecting us even from that. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in that day ye shall surely die. He also said that when you do that, sin will enter into the world. So let's pick it up on Genesis 3 and 1, and let's talk about it this morning. Because again, in order for you and me to commit a spiritual crime, I have to see God in a way that he's not fair, he's not right, he's not just. That's what the enemy was doing in this situation. So it says here, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. What does subtle mean? Huh? Cunning, sneaky, sly, crafty, right? He was tricky, right? I want us to be thinking about the serpent, not in terms of a snake. It was a snake, but I want you to be thinking that the enemy can come in many different forms. He's been doing it since the garden. So somebody, now stay with me this morning. Somebody that we know and love and that may be our friend, if we're not careful, if they allow the enemy into them, they could sometimes give you some advice that may not help you, right, may give you some counsel that may encourage you in the wrong direction. Right. You understand this morning? Because the enemy has been coming in many different forms. So it says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. What do y'all see any problem with what's going on here? First of all, you're having a conversation with a snake. A snake will what? A snake will bite you even if he like you. It ain't his fault. He's just a snake. You understand? You are not obligated to entertain an enemy. Anytime the devil come to you, and you know the devil will always identify himself, because he may say some things that are true, but ultimately in that truth, there's going to be something that is not true. There's going to be something that is going against what God has already indicated that you should and should not do. You understand? And so when the enemy comes to us, we don't have to entertain him. We can close that door, take the knob off that side of the door. If he's coming to you in the back of your mind like a radio, we can go to that part of our mind by the help of the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to turn that knob all the way down. I'm going to pull the knob off that thing and unplug that joker. You understand? You don't have to listen to the enemy. All right? And so the first thing I want us to understand is that when you listen to the enemy, what you're doing is what's called giving place to the devil. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. Right? And so what you do when you're listening to him, even if he's in the back of your mind and he's saying things and you're not really, really listening to him, but you kind of hear him, the first thing I want you to do is ask the Lord to help you to turn the devil off. Amen. Turn him off. Yes. All right. And so what happened was she started conversing with the enemy. And the woman said unto the serpents, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, picking it up in verse number 3, and that's in Genesis 3 and 3. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. All right? And so what were the instructions that God had given? It's right there. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Don't touch it. Now, I'm going to give you something else this morning that the Lord, I believe, has given us. Sometimes you can't even look at stuff. Right. Did you know that? Yeah. If you don't look at it, how you going to eat it and how you going to touch it? Right. What that tree was representing was disobeying God. All right. And so disobedience to God, again, causes separation between us and God, because sin is a sickness. It's an illness, and we become unclean. And so we can't be like God wants us to be. All right, and so what was happening here is she began to look at that tree. What she should have did was go ahead and her and Adam should have got together and built something around that tree and just covered up. Don't even look at that thing no more. You know that there are things in my life that the Lord has delivered from me. He's delivered me from that when I was in sin, they had much power over me, and I did wrong many, many times. And when God saved me and delivered me, He instructed me, don't look at it, don't touch it, don't taste it, don't be around it, don't do nothing with it, because if you do, you're going to surely die. All right. And so that lust that I used to live in, that sinful tongue that I used to have, that anger, that unforgiveness, that violent hatred spirit, that those things, I give no place to those things in my life. Why? Because they're going to cause spiritual death, if not actual literal death. All right. And so I've learned, don't even look in those directions. If I feel a certain way, if I have a certain thought, that's a cue to me at that time. You need to pray. You need to pray. Lord, would you bless my mind, Lord? My mind ain't thinking right. Lord, my heart is I'm getting angry. I'm getting upset. I'm about to do something I shouldn't do. I'm about to say something, do something I don't need to do. May you, Lord, would you have mercy upon me? All right. And then keep a barrier between you and those things. All right. And so it says here, Lord told him, don't touch it. Don't eat of it. I'm encouraging you this morning. That thing that is a sin that the enemy wants to work with you with, I'm encouraging you, don't even give it any kind of place at all. Don't even look at it. You're not obligated to do that. You're not obligated to entertain the enemy in any way, shape, or form. The serpent said unto the woman, remember I told you that the enemy is going to tell you a lie. The Bible says that the devil is not only a liar, but he is the father of lies, which means that he is the originator of lies. Right? And so what he said in verse number 4 was what? And the serpent said unto the woman, what? You ain't going to die. You ain't going to die. Right? Now pay special attention to verse number 5. Remember I told you that in order for us to do something wrong in the spiritual sense, that what the enemy wants to do is to first establish that you have been wronged, right? Now, all of this, many times, is happening in the recesses of your mind, in the subconscious. It's not at the surface. But what he's doing with Eve here, he said, for God doth know, he said, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Tell me this. Why is it that we want what we don't got? Huh? Why is that? Why can't we be happy with what God has blessed us with? Amen. Bible says that godliness with contentment is what? Is it just gain? Great gain. So what the enemy always does is he's going to present to you something. A man can be happily married, got a good wife, got a good family, good kids, good job, all of that. And what does the devil do? Look at that beautiful woman. Isn't she beautiful? Is she beautiful? She is. That's truth, isn't it? And she probably smells really nice. What? I'm telling the truth. Am I making this up or does this happen? Now, wait a minute now. I got a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, beautiful home, car, job, all kinds of stuff, and I'm on my way to heaven. I got this thing whooped. You understand what I'm saying? But the devil come and he presents something to me, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. They got the whole garden. God used to come down in the evening time and visit them personally. He'd talk with them in the cool of the day, and he'd encourage them and bless them. They had dominion over everything. They had control over everything. Everything was theirs. All they couldn't do was eat of that tree. Why do we want to eat of that tree? Leave that tree alone. Leave that woman alone. You got what you need. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So the devil always tempts us with what we don't have. I'm encouraging you this morning, look at what you do have. Right? If you don't have God in your life, get him in your life. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice, I will, and open the door. I'll come in. I'll sup with him. I'll make my abode with him. That's what God is telling you. He's saying you can have me all through your life, and then you can have me all through eternity. Do you know that we're going to die one day? Do you know that we're going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell? Why not make our relationship with God now, get a relationship with him now, and then when it's time to die, we just continue our relationship all through eternity. You understand? And so that's what God wants to do. But the devil wants to put that thing in front of you that's going to pull you away from God. Because once you're separated from God, then he can work on you and keep you bound in chains and vices and all these different things. That man that I was talking about before with the beautiful wife and the beautiful kids and the home and the car and all of that, if he pulls him away and he messes with that woman, he'll lose all of that in his life and then be lost too. That's how it works. Okay? And the devil knows that. He wants to separate you from God now, in this life, and ultimately in eternity. Okay? And I'm saying to you, look at what you have. You have the God of the universe that didn't just make the earth. Every star you see, he made it. The sun, he made that. The moon, every animal, every insect, we still don't know what all is on this earth. We'll never know. He made all of it. Huh? And he loves you. He wants a personal relationship with you now, in the here and now. And then he wants a relationship with you all the way through eternity. That's what you have. Do you really need the fruit of the forbidden tree?
No.
You don't need it. May the Lord be with us. May he bless us and may he help us. And so what was happening here is he was establishing something with verse number 5. He said, in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be as gods. You'll know knowledge of good and evil. And so basically what is he really saying? What's he saying? God ain't being fair to you. God gave you all this other stuff. He gave you all this other stuff, eternal life, all the food you can eat, and all the you love everything. Come down and visit you, but he ain't really being fair to you. That's what he's saying. So what's the title of the message? Two wrongs don't make a right. When we deal with God, and the enemy has presented God as being wrong, then what happens is what we can justify our wrong. You see? What he does is he wants to take God out of the place of goodness and righteousness and love and peace and joy. He wants to take him out of that place in our minds, unseat him, and then now I'm able to work with you as a person. The enemy's able to work with you as a person and get you to do wrong because you've been wronged. You see? This is the first installment of this series. Okay? What I want to encourage you to know today is I'm not going to get to all my scriptures, obviously, and I'm not going to take up all your time this morning, but I want you to get a hold of what's going on here. God is not wrong. God has not done you or me wrong. Matter of fact, he's done the opposite of that. And so what I want to encourage you this morning is to not allow the enemy to trick your mind into believing, like Eve did, that you have been wronged by God. I'll be honest with you. People are people. You know that? Did you know that saved people are people too?
Yes.
Saved what? People. So sometimes a saved person can make a mistake. They may even fail and they may do you wrong. Don't let that separate you from the love of God. If I mess up, God's going to deal with me. And by the help of the Lord, I'm going to humble myself. He's going to show me where I'm wrong. I'm going to come back to you and make it right. But if I mess up, then the enemy comes in and says, see what he did? And he called himself a saved. He called himself a man of God. And he did you like that. What's he really trying to do? Huh? He's going to separate me and you. And then he's going to separate you from God. That's the way he does it. So I'm encouraging you this morning, don't allow the enemy to do you like that. The Bible says, be not overcome with what? Somebody find where that's at. I want to make sure it's still in there. I think it's in there, but I want to make sure. Be not overcome with evil, but what? Overcome evil with what? With good. And so what's going to happen in this life, the enemy is going to try to, in some kind of way, separate us from God, just like he did with Adam and Eve. Do you know that Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden? What happened to the tree of life? Anybody know? Put some guards in front of it. Can nobody get to it, right? So not only did they sin, but they are they still alive today? No, Adam and Eve ain't alive today. So they died, didn't they? You understand? The devil's going to lie to you. He going to tell you something different. He might cover it up with some truth, but know that it's the enemy and know that what he's trying to do is separate you from God. All right? What's the Bible say about forgiveness? If you don't forgive, what's going to happen? I need you to tell me one more time. You don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So do you know that literally hell is full of people, the only problem that they had is that they couldn't forgive somebody. Right? And so they got into it with somebody. And that person did them wrong and they refused to forgive. God came and dealt with them and said, listen, I need you to forgive this person. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So I'm going to help you do it. And listen, let me tell you, people can hurt you bad. Okay? Let's be honest. Can hurt you real bad. And when they wrong, they wrong. Ain't that right? Yes, it is. And so when they hurt us, then we feel bad about that. And the devil come and he start talking to us. They shouldn't have did you like that. And you say, oh, yeah, you right. You sure right. They shouldn't have did you like that. And you wouldn't have did them like that. Now, that's debatable. That's debatable. You wouldn't have did them like that. Can't believe they did you like that. Can you believe they did you like that? But is he coming to you and telling them that he went to them first and told them the same story? Because, see, you looked at them funny. You ain't look at them funny, but that's the way they saw it. You was looking at somebody else to tell you the truth. But he said to them, look at how they just looked at you. See? Do you see how it works? And now he got it going. He's in the background egging stuff on between this one and that one and this one and that one because he knows that the sin of unforgiveness will separate you from the love of God. And if you leave here in that condition, I'm not telling you that if you have unforgiveness now that you're going to be lost. But I'm telling you, don't leave here like that. Because the Bible says if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And so he's been working this system for years and years. He's been doing it between people and God. He's been doing it between people and the people of God. He's been doing it between people in general. And his goal and his aim is to get you to accept and believe that you're okay with disobeying God because God has in some kind of way done you wrong, or they have in some kind of way done you wrong. All right. What's the Bible say? If God tells us to do something, I want you to be encouraged this morning that if he's telling us to do it, then what he does is he obligates himself to help us to do it. Somebody read that, be not overcome with evil, please.
Romans 12:21.
Get that down if you don't have it. It's in Romans 12, verse number 21.
Be not overcome of evil.
Be not overcome evil with good. Now, I want you to get the other scripture. Somebody find it, you Bible warriors. I want you to find the scripture that talks about God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Remember that God, when he tells us to do something, God would be cruel and unjust if he will not be willing to help us to do it. Do you know that God knows of our weaknesses and our frailty? He knows that we are by nature weak-willed and frail human beings. We are. See, you get quiet on me there, and that's all right. One of the biggest things that we need to learn as people is that we can't do it without God. We just can't. The world's going to tell you that you can. Matter of fact, if you have any level of success, the mindset is for you to take some credit for that success. But if God didn't give you the breath in your lungs, you wouldn't be here literally the next moment. If he didn't let your heart beat, you wouldn't have that heartbeat. If he didn't let you have, remember Nebuchadnezzar, what happened? Took his mind, didn't he? God can do that. You understand? So really, it's God that is blessing us and helping us. And so we don't need to try to get the credit. If God has blessing me, bless you to do anything good, then where does the credit belong? With God. And that's okay, because we're all the same way. Nobody's awesome. Nobody's good at doing right. We're good at wanting to do right. You ever had that problem? I want to do good, Lord, but huh? Oh, I'm the only one. Oh, okay then. All right. We're all that way. And so what God does is he obligates himself to help us. But there's something that has to happen. Okay? God does not operate by force. God operates by our will and by love. Right? The devil's currency is force. It's intimidation, it's hatred, it's violence. What does he tell you? You better not get saved. If you get saved, they're going to talk about you. See? If you get saved, then you're going to have to do this and do that. Ain't that what the devil tell you?
Yeah.
Right? So that's force and intimidation.
Right.
But God, what he does is he loves us. Yeah. And he's merciful and he's kind and he's good unto us.
Amen.
Anybody got that scripture? All right, it's in Philippians. If you don't have it, write it down. If you don't know where it's at, you might need this one day. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse number 13. Read that for us, please.
For it is God which worketh in both to will and to do in his good pleasure.
Amen.
Do all things without murmuring
and disputing. All right, you can pause right there. All I want is verse number 13. I want you to memorize this, write it down. If you got to, put it in your phone, make it your screensaver, do something. But this is important. God obligates us. He instructs us to do good, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with him. But then he obligates himself to help us. And so what this scripture is saying is, it's God that worketh in us.
Yes.
Did y'all hear that part?
Yes.
Where at?
In us.
Somewhere way off in heaven. Huh? In us. Both to will and to do. What does that mean? To help us to want to do it and then do it. Do you think that I always want to do good to people that do me in? Because I'm just a preacher and I'm a pastor, so therefore I must enjoy being hammered off. Hammer me at your leisure then. Huh? You think that's the way it is with me? It ain't. I'm human too. You understand? And so when I am mistreated, when I have somebody do me wrong, then I want to, you know, inform them of some things. Huh? This is the truth. But I know what my instructions are. And I know what's going to keep me from being separated from God. And so what I do is I go to him and I say, Lord, I need you to help me to want to do right. See, I know what's right and wrong. We never have a problem with what's right. We know what's right and wrong. That's not the problem. It's the doing and the wanting to do that's the problem. And so in Philippians 2 and 13, it says, it's God that works in us. But he can't work in us if I won't let him in. Or sometimes what we try to do is say, Lord, I'll tell you what, I'll let you help me with this one, because this one is real hard. But this next one, though, I got it. Huh? Does it work that way? Okay. I can't pick my salvation up and put it down when I want to. I need the Lord to help me to endeavor to live right all the time by his grace and by his help, by his mercy. So it's God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He helps us to want to do it, then he helps us to do it, and then he even helps us with where the praise belongs. Because sometimes we'll get confused about that. He say, look, I'll take that because that belongs to me anyway. Okay. May God bless us this morning. I want you, if you don't get anything out of what we're doing this morning, may God help us. I want you to know that two wrongs don't make a right. The enemy will try to present God as if he has done something wrong. Ultimately, what his goal is to separate you and I from God. He doesn't want you to have God in your life down here because he knows that your life will be blessed. He hates you being blessed. He hates it. And then ultimately, if he can get us to fall into his trap, ultimately, we will be lost and in a devil's hell. Was hell made for you and me? Who was it made for? The devil and his angels. So you're going to be in a place that God never intended you to be in. And all you had to do was humble your heart and say, Lord, I need your help. That's it, Lord. I need it. I'm not there yet, Lord, but I want to be there. I want to do right. I'm going to do right. I'm not going to listen to this liar that's telling me that you've done me wrong. I'm not going to listen to this liar that's telling me to do somebody else wrong so I can get in trouble with you. Because, Lord, I need you daily.
Yes.
I need you with me. I want your help in my life. And because I don't know when I'm going to leave here, but when I do leave here, I want to make sure that me and you are good.
Yes.
Am I right or wrong?
Amen.
All right, and so I want us to know that he's trying to separate us from God, because he knows that separation from God is separation from all that is good. He has you all to himself. All right. And so I want to encourage you that if you don't have a relationship with God, or if you see God in that way, everybody don't have the same circumstance and situation. Some people, let's be honest, have went through hard and difficult things. The great equalizer is God. I'm going through this. Why does God get the blame for the wrong and not the credit for the good? Why is that? Lord, you let my mama die. Well, first of all, everybody dies. And how long you want her to live? If it was up to me and you, they'd live forever. Is that right? The truth is I'm relying on my mama too much, and he wants to have a relationship with me. And mama already did her job, and so it's her time to get her crown. She gets to go to heaven now. But what happens is, in our minds, we start thinking that the devil come and tell us some kind of way God did us wrong because he took our mama or he took our daddy or this went wrong and that went wrong. Listen, many times either the enemy had something, if it's wrong, the enemy had something to do with it, or it's not wrong and we're just looking at it in the wrong way. God help us. If it's up to me, my mama be alive today. How much preaching you think I'd be doing, though? Think I'd even be saved? Maybe. God knows what he's doing.
Yes.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And many times what he allows in our life, what he does, and I'm going to sit down. I appreciate your time, your attentions, your prayers, and your patience with me. I'm going to sit down. I promise. But I want you to know that he allows circumstance and situation,
yes,
to help us to see our need for him.
Amen.
That's part of his grace and mercy towards,
yes,
us. Because you and I can't get to heaven. The Bible says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way.
Yes.
I'm the truth and I'm the life.
Yes.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he allows situation, he allows circumstances to help us to understand that we're going to need him if we're going to go to heaven.
Amen.
He does that. And so if you're hurting, if you've been hurt, if you're angry at God, if you're angry at the people of God, if you're just angry at anybody, and it's hindering you from having the relationship with God that you know you need, the relationship with God that you want to have.
Yes.
I want to encourage you this morning. Don't let the devil steal from you. The Bible says he's a thief and a robber.
Yes.
He says he came to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
But the Bible says that Christ came to bring us, to give us life and life more abundantly.
Yes.
I want to encourage you today that you can have that today.
Yes.
Again, I appreciate your time and your prayer. Any time I get up here, I want the Lord with me. And anytime I get up here, we're going to talk about going to heaven.
Yes.
Some kind of way we're going to figure out how we got to get there.
Yes.
All right? We got to get there. And so we're going to talk about going to heaven. And I want you to go.
Amen.
I want you to go real bad. But I don't want you to, I want to go even worse than that.
Yes.
And then God wants us all to go more than you and I want to go.
Thank you, Lord.
So you pray for me because I want to make heaven my home. I want you to go with me. You pray for me. I will be praying for you. Thank you for your time and your attention.